Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Paraskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. All right, welcome back, everybody, to The Fighting Priests. This is a very special episode, our number 41, and it's a welcome back to Father Thomas. Father Thomas, you're up in Calgary, and you haven't been on the podcast. Well, we haven't done an episode in a long time, since October, end of October, I think, was the last episode that I did alone, but you haven't been on since the summer, right before you took over Calgary. How's it going up there?
It's good. Super busy. It's funny. My father-in-law kept asking me how many members we have here, whatever. And so one council meeting, I finally figured it out. I think, like, for example, Winnipeg, where there's Father Nick and they have a deacon, right? I think they have, last time I checked, I think it's 311 paid memberships, right? So that's individual, family, you know, seniors, blah, 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 students. Here, last time I finally found out, I think we have 711.
Whoa.
Yeah. But that, there's more, because there was an issue, I believe, with the online renewal in January. So I think there's actually more. Mm-hmm. So, and then plus, there's more Greeks here than in Winnipeg.
Yeah, but that's more than double.
Yeah, than Winnipeg.
You're used to, right? It's a huge parish. Yeah.
And when I got here, it's weird. I thought there's no other Greek Orthodox church in Calgary except ours. There's not even a schismatic old calendarist, nothing. Just, which is good because, you know, I'm going there. But it's also like there's so many people, you could have two parishes. And even in Edmonton, there's just one. And it's funny, Alberta has two Greek Orthodox churches and both of the parish priests are not Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, Father Andrew.
Both converts as well. So it's interesting.
Well, now the only thing is that, so now that you have that in common, the only other thing you have to, you know, do is to convert him over to the jiu-jitsu path.
The training.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get Father Andrew to train, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
So you like it there? You guys have transitioned okay?
Yeah, it's nice. Everyone's nice. There's always some people, of course, have stuff to say. You're never going to make anyone happy.
Sure,
of course. Usually they don't say it. It's nothing major, usually.
Sure.
Some people don't like my accent when I speak Greek. I heard somebody tell me. It's weird things like that. So, okay.
Wow. Well, good thing you're not a Greek school teacher. You're a priest.
So. Yeah. I tell them, I'll say, okay, well, when they speak English, I don't want to hear their accent then. And then the old lady laughs. Like, I know, I tell them, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, everyone's nice. They love my daughter, right? And
how is Ashley and Sophia?
Good.
Yeah.
Doing mummy play dates and stuff like that or whatever. So,
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because it was such a huge transition for you guys, because you went from being away from your wife, okay, not all the time, but like for the bigger part of 4 years studying here in Toronto, and then you went back, and then everything within a year happened, like, you know, ordination happened here, but, you know, you became a priest, and then you went home, and then, like, not even a year later, you're already being placed somewhere else, and you had a kid. So it's huge. It's overwhelming, right? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah And like I said, it's such a big parish here. It's pretty big, and then they have like this Hellenic hall, and they rent it out, and the Greek school in the basement on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and they have Sunday school. Sunday school here is only every other week. That was going on, so got to work towards changing that so it's every week. But we'll get there. But it's pretty good. So
nice. How's how's training been?
Not the way I would want it to be, of course, because I'm so busy. But first when I got here, I was training. So I have a friend named Weberton Faria from Winnipeg. He's from Brazil, and he moves to Winnipeg. He actually moved to Winnipeg, I guess, in the time that I was in Toronto. So, right. And then, so I'd meet him Christmas time or summers. And then the club where we were training there is kind of split. But he moved here, I guess, 2 years ago. And so he was, he's a brown belt, and he was teaching out of his condo here. It's in Beltline with, or downtown. You can actually walk there from here. And so I trained there because it was close. And then eventually I went, but there's not any higher belts, right? It's like a purple belt, blue belts, white belts. And I'd asked my professor from Toronto, Professor George Brito, where to train. I asked him about Josh Russell. So I went to train. I've been training also at the JR Academy. So Josh Russell is a fourth degree black belt under Carlos Gracie Jr. I think he actually moved when he was younger to Brazil just to train and be a beach bum, I guess, and like just be poor and starving and train. Mm-hmm. And they were actually part of the Gracie Baja here, him and all the schools. I remember when I was in Winnipeg, I heard when they had left, whatever the issue was. I don't really know. I don't think it was too big of an issue. And then now he just went on his own. So I trained there. I train there pretty much whenever I can. That's what, there's no really schedule, especially with Lent now, because I have so many services. So I'm going to try and train like Tuesday. I would have trained, of course, Friday is when I've been going as well. Mm-hmm. So no gi class. But which the Annunciation, I'm gonna have a funeral on Friday now, so I won't be able to make it after either.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's, I train like two, maybe three times a week if I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. But slowly since I've gone here, it's been, I think I've been able to understand my schedule more, or how to like deal with people when they want things from me instead of just saying whenever, trying to allocate it to like, if I'm already in the office, like I do have office hours. And you should, certain things you should do during office time, right? So if I'm already going to be at the church on Sunday, I try and do baptisms or stuff like that on Sunday, not Saturdays.
Right? Yeah, it's going, well, we've talked about this many times, right? And even for myself, it's like, mm-hmm. You're coming at it backwards, right? Because at least being many years in jiu-jitsu and kind of getting to your black belt and having that rhythm in your life of training, and now you're coming into the priesthood, so it's like a big, it's a shift into that direction, and finding mm-hmm. that balance. Where, of course, for me, it was the opposite, right? So, like being in the priesthood for so many years, and then suddenly introducing jiu-jitsu into my lifestyle, right? So, yeah. But either way, the balance that is required is the same, right? Like you have to find that mm-hmm. balance between your personal life, like your health as well. It's not just personal, like selfish time, but being healthy and being able to train, and also being able to, you know, service your parish and do everything that is required of you. But I think it's possible, even with a big parish, like, you know, I got around the same amount of people like in my parish here in Toronto, because all the Toronto churches are massive. But you can, you know, it's you have to be creative with your scheduling and make sure that there's a balance so you don't get off track. And like even during Lent, I find I thought it would be hard to train or to find hours during Lent, but no, it's like my services, like my Lenten services, like are my dojo's like classes, at least the advanced classes, they're like the blue belt plus whatever, even though I'm not a blue belt yet, but like I go to the advanced classes, right? And they're like 8 o'clock at night. So that's decent, right? Because my parish, my services are early. Like I do my evening services, like pre-sanctified, I do early. I do it 5:37, right? I always did them that early. You know, a lot of the elderly people prefer the earlier hours because they don't want to travel too late at night or drive when it's too dark. But even the younger people, like they're done work. So a lot of them just come straight from work. It's not a big deal. Like it's not a big shift between, I know some guys that just kind of traditionally have done pre-sanctified liturgy, you know, later at night, but why? Mm-hmm. There's no reason for it. You know, it doesn't affect your numbers or anything like that. Like, mm-hmm. and so I do it 5:30 to 7:00. Or even when I used to do it 6 to 7:30, and you know, you can finish, you're pre-sanctified, you're not rushed, and you can go and train for an hour. You can go at night, right? And same thing with salutations on Fridays. I do 6 to 7. I don't do 7 to 8. I do a little bit earlier, and there's no difference in people attending and things like that. If anything, actually, I have found more people have come because of the earlier hour. Mm-hmm. They actually prefer it, even younger people. So we've had in the last, I think, 3 years now, this is the third year that I've done it an hour earlier, and I've actually had more number, like higher attendance than I had in the past when it was later. And even people with kids, right? Like if they want to bring their children, they don't want to go too late, if they have their bedtimes and things like that and homework and stuff like that. So you can do it. You can train, you can find, just a matter of structuring, right? So I don't want to say how much I train because it's going to sound selfish, or it's going to be like, oh, like, where does he find time for the parish? But I still do my work.
Oh, yeah. And well, I still I work out every day, or
sure,
study, of course, because my office hours are supposed to end at 2. Mm-hmm. I'm here more than longer than that quite often.
Sure. But,
so I still like run or whatever with weights. I still try and have some type of weekly routine.
Sure. Right?
And, yeah. And the biggest thing, especially once you're a black belt, like, you know, as long as my lungs are good, then I'm fine. If I only train twice a week, I can still go in there and it doesn't, I don't think you'd be able to tell that I train less than I used to. Right. Because I still, some techniques might get more dull, like when it comes to like the instruction part or drilling and stuff I don't really like to do anyways, but because here I introduced like some of the classes that where I train, like the Saturday classes, let's say the open mat, there's a technique class in the gi, and I think open mat is 3 to 5, but I introduced Vesper, we're doing Saturday Vespers here, so I still introduced that. I just do it the first and third Saturdays.
Sure.
And then they didn't have mega polypno on great compline on Mondays and Lent. So I introduced that. Mm-hmm. And I had some ladies, I remember the first time we did it, the first one's long for people,
yeah,
right? The first one, right? It's like an hour and a half, but there was, I could hear other women chanting, you know, Methi Monotheos and Lord of the Powers and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, so these ladies must know these services from growing up in Greece or something if they never did it here.
Sure.
And also they never had like forgiveness vespers to start Lent, so I introduced that.
Nice.
Had a pretty good turnout for that. It was good.
And you guys also, I think when you started forgiveness vespers, your COVID mandates were already lifted, right?
Yeah.
Nice. So you were able
to I just said whoever was like uncomfortable, then just do like a bow or whatever instead of the kisses. Sure. Like, most people just did that. Kisses. This is Alberta. This is what's the
Nexus of the North.
Yeah, the motto of this province, I believe, is strong and free.
Yeah.
Right? I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So you noticed a difference in the mindset of Albertans for sure. And then like combined with Greeks traditionally up until the pandemic happened, we're all about Eleftheria y Thanatos, right? Freedom or death.
Yep.
And then a lot of people traded that in. They gave that part up. But a lot of them did not. So you have the freedom aspect of Hellenism, right? And then you have the freedom aspect of cowboy Alberta. So,
well, it's still better. Like today, as we record this, and I'm hoping to get this episode up maybe by today, actually the same day or tomorrow,
because okay,
I've kind of been behind. But today is Monday, right? So it's Monday, March 21st. And as of today is the first day that we are mask free and social distancing free and in Ontario. So it was very not strange, but it's very nice that pretty much all the COVID restrictions have been lifted here now, except for like hospital settings. Okay. And seniors homes.
Yeah. Same here.
But my kids went to school today. It was March break last week, so they were home. They went to school with no masks. It was very strange to kind of, because, you know, you're in this, you're 2 years, over 2 years. Yeah. In this kind of like routine, and people have a real big, like even people who are not so much scared or anything like that, but it's just this routine, right? Like I saw people on the elevator and, you know, in my building, and they're like, oh yeah, wait. And they're wearing masks and they're like, oh wait, yeah, that came off today. So they just started taking them off. So it was really weird. People just kind of so conditioned, right? So even at the school, there's some people obviously who are still wearing them. Some people are not, but it's nice that the churches can go, like we can go back to normal now. So as of 2 weeks ago, because we had most restrictions lift 2 weeks ago, except for the masks and the social distancing. So, but even 2 weeks ago, we went back to normal communion, which was really nice. But as of this week, as of today, we're going to go back to like pretty much all the normal liturgical life, you know, giving out a vivero, having coffee hour afterwards, all that stuff that hasn't existed in my parish, at least. mm-hmm. for a greater part of 2 years. Wow. Everything went back to normal, which is nice. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, we were doing most of that here. The only time they stopped, I think, is when the Omicron thing first started. People weren't sure. Mm-hmm. So the ladies Filippo stopped giving coffee for like 3 weeks or something. I don't know what it was.
Sure. It
wasn't very long. But yeah, it was weird when I first got here. There was like no restrictions, and then they brought in restrictions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
with I think it was with a with was it with a Delta? I think it was with a Delta because Delta was so so
yeah, I think there was
strong, right? It was.
I can't really remember.
I'm pretty sure it was Delta.
Yeah.
Yeah, Delta was tough. Delta was a very strong variant, and it kind of set everything back, right? But then we had Omicron, and everything went much better, and let's hope everything just continues to go as it goes, right? So we'll see. But we've been training, like, here, like, you know, in Toronto, like, even with the other restrictions, like, the dojos are open. They've been open. We haven't really had any shutdowns for a while now, and even with masks and stuff, like the combat sports were allowed and without masks and things like that. So it's been normal, like, you know, consistent training, which is great. And yeah, and thank God, like, that hasn't really been much of an interruption. It was a short interruption, I think, for like 3 weeks with Omicron. Mm-hmm. And then everything started up again. So yeah, ironically, that's when I got Omicron too. Yeah. So I actually got Omicron back in like, I think it was mid-January. And I wasn't really sick, like maybe like 2 days. Mm-hmm. And then it went away. But, you know, I took more than the recommended 5 days, just, you know, for the parish to be safe and, you know, people get nervous and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... But during that shutdown, then I just built a new dojo at the church. So, you know, I had shut down the old bunker, remember? Mm-hmm. And thinking, you know, last summer that, oh, you know, everything's open now. This is all behind us. So I cleaned up the bunker, that kind of makeshift bunker that I had in one of the Sunday school mm-hmm. classrooms. And I gave everything back to my friend who I borrowed the mats from. And everything went away. And then the winter comes and you get like Delta and you get all these things. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's like prudent to like create a more permanent. So I had a spare room in the church, another spare room, like a storage room that wasn't really being used. So we kind of like just cleared it out and, you know, painted it and redid the floors and got some professional mats. And now it's a functioning like actual dojo. So I can like actually train there with anybody and the kids and who knows, maybe in the future, maybe we can do some youth programs, who knows. Right. But it's an actual functioning dojo, which is nice, to do exercise and things like that. Cause you never know, right. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I hope the spring goes nice. And cause I remember last year in Winnipeg, I think we were the only church in Winnipeg or area, like the Sunday Orthodoxy Vespers, like Pan-Orthodox. And then I think like that week after is when the restrictions came in. Mm-hmm. So here we made it past Sunday Orthodoxy Vespers by a week now. So
yeah,
looks like everything will be good for the remainder.
Yeah. Speaking of which... Well, not of that, but as far just going back to jiu-jitsu a bit, and not just jiu-jitsu, but martial arts, it seems like, you know, we've kind of had like a little this reawakening in Canada, because I heard that we have a new priest in Vancouver who's from Greece. Did you hear about this?
No.
He's at St. George, the big cathedral, right?
Okay.
And he's like apparently like a black belt, like national Greek champion of Taekwondo.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
So he's like started like Taekwondo classes for the kids there, mm-hmm. the priest, right? Which is awesome. So he's doing like a whole, he's doing like classes apparently and things like that. And the kids, and like he's engaging with the youth, like based out of St. George there, which is really nice. And then one of my students who, you know, Father Evdokimos,
yeah. He's a monk.
You know, Father Evdokimos, Mathidakis. Yeah. Yeah. So now he's a priest. He was a monk before. He was a student, and now he's in his fourth year, his last year of seminary. I'm still teaching him here in Toronto, and now he's a priest. He goes out to Kingston, mm-hmm. and even though he doesn't do martial arts, he's got a guy there who knows Sistema, Okay. And well, you know, okay, like, it's a martial art, I guess, right? but they started a systema class there, based out of the church, mm-hmm. which was never happened in Kingston before. And I think that's a great idea. It's not, you know, it's he recognizes that, okay, there's somebody who knows some kind of martial arts, a good physical kind of training and things like that, and they're engaging with the youth, right? So it's a good thing. Yeah. So any thoughts for yourself, maybe in Calgary, who knows, like, like as a program for your church?
I don't know. The problem with that is because those two martial arts that you mentioned are not contact martial arts.
Sure.
Right? You're not sparring. Whereas in jiu-jitsu, you're like sparring to the death and then you escape by tapping. At least I hope you are. If you're not sparring to the death, you need to get into school. But that's what separates Brazilian jiu-jitsu from other martial arts, right? Sure. When Mitsaedo, he believed in challenging yourself. So it's like, someone was asking this, and I was explaining, I don't think they really knew what Brazilian jiu-jitsu was. And like, well, I'm like explaining, well, there's contact, and it's like.
Yeah, but it can be done fairly safe. Like, it's not like it's so highly unsafe, like, especially for kids. Like, it can be trained fairly, like, or else we wouldn't have a ton of kids in programs.
Yeah, but like,
don't get me wrong, of course the danger of injury is in anything, right? Is that what you're saying? So you're like, are you concerned more about like being a church?
No, it's everything. It's injury, it's contact with, because it's extremely close physical contact. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, so it's like, I think when most people think of martial arts, they either think of mixed martial, they think of the UFC, or they think of Taekwondo. And it's like, so I'm like, you know, and they're like, when they're on the ground in the UFC and they're actually doing grappling, that's what it is without mm-hmm. the gi. Right. With self-defense, yeah, of course, there's strikes and hitting.
Sure. So. Well, yeah, it's a valid concern. We've never had it as far as like in as a part of a church program. And I can't really think of anywhere else that it's existed. Like even in the States, where we've interviewed so many of our friends who are priests who do jiu-jitsu in the States. I don't know if any of them have a program as part of their church. I don't know if it's a good or a bad idea. It's just, it's a thought. I don't know if I would do it in my church either. Mind you, I really can't because I'm a white belt, so I don't know anything. So,
well, I do have some people who train here. There's two people, younger people getting married in Greece in the summer. They train, they're white belts. They train at Alliance. Mm-hmm. And then there's another guy, his mom was here yesterday, she's in some old lady, and she's like, my son does what you do. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, jiu-jitsu. So he trained, and there's another guy, he's a blue belt, who trains at a Bering Academy, right? So there's some people.
It's definitely an interesting dynamic though, right? When you meet people, if you ever meet your parishioners outside of like the church, if they ever train and they come to the dojo, or like, you know, if they're in your club, like, it's a dynamic.
Yeah. Cause I think there's maybe it's the same that I'm thinking of, where it's another guy. He trains at Rocky Mountain BJJ, which is one of Josh Russell's affiliates, and their black belts train for free. So I think going there on Saturdays might work with my schedule. Mm-hmm. Their classes are earlier. They're no gi class. But yeah, usually when I meet people like at the, where I train now, there was a guy I rolled with the other Friday, and he asked me my name or something, or why I was in Calgary, and I transferred here, blah, blah, blah. And I guess he was Serbian Orthodox, like nominal. His mom, he says, is a believer, but mm-hmm. so people, when they find him a priest, they're like, what? So yeah, but so far, yeah, I tell people to train, of course. But
sure, it's not going to be a show.
You always think, well, yeah, what can I do here? Problem is here, there's so many things that they want me to do, right? Like, I attend the Philoptikos meetings that they counsel me. So it's like a lot of my evenings in the very first part of the month can get eaten up right away.
But that's only once a month though, right? Like, for example, Philoptikos only meets once a month, right?
Yeah. So, but I don't look at it as once a month. I look at it as this one day of the week that's already gone.
Agreed. But I'm just saying, if you look at it long term, like, I got to do those things too, right? I have to be at my board meeting once a month. I should be at the Philoptos meeting once a month, which I usually am, right? Mm-hmm. But that's, again, that's once a month. So I look at it in the total of the month. That's 2 days or two nights, let's say. What about the other weeks, right? So.
Yeah, but then the other weeks, someone needs you in the evening.
Sure. But again, it's about managing, managing expectations, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, again, we've discussed this before. It's the, you know, if you're in the evenings when you're, I guess you could say technically home time, it should only be, is there an emergency? It should not be, let me cater to your schedule because you don't want to come on a weekend or because you don't want to come during the day. Meanwhile, we change our schedules when we want to go to the government offices. Like if I want to go renew my license, or if I want to go, you know, renew my passport or something like that, well, I'm going to go during office hours or else I don't go, right? Mm-hmm. Well, why is the priest who's already working all day, right? Why are they expected to also now come in again in the evening to accommodate meetings, things of that nature, I would say that should be done during office hours or during the weekends, right? So stuff like that, in my opinion, if it's not an emergency, like a hospital visitation or a viewing that you have to do for the night before for a funeral, mm-hmm. like something like that, like an emergency or someone's in distress, right? Like real distress, there's no need. Or the occasional board meeting, for example, or the occasional recatechism that you're doing or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's no need for you to be going back to the parish in the evenings. You need that time for your family, right? Mm-hmm. Or else it never ends. So,
yeah. No, the philosophical, so I left the meeting early on Tuesday to go train. So I just told them they're fine. Then I came back and then I saw their cars were still outside. So I walk over to the church because I live beside the church. And then I'm like, what are you ladies still doing here? And they're just hanging out talking.
Yeah.
At least they weren't there arguing till 9:30.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's part of it. But yeah, no, it's like you're a human being just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to having parishioners. So I don't have a lot of my own personal parishioners because Toronto's so big and because mm-hmm. my church is in the West End, but I live not in the East, but central, North Central, North York. And my dojo's in my area, of course. So a lot of the people, there's a lot of Greeks that come to my club, to Rev MMA, but they're not my parishioners. They go to other parishes in the East End or things like that. So a lot of people might know me, but they're not my actual parishioners. But even when there is people who know me or they've been to my church, it's kind of funny. So we've talked about this before. I'm I'm probably the biggest guy in my dojo. Yeah. I'm the heaviest and I'm the biggest. I'm the tallest. So the next guy who's nearly as close as me, my friend Jason, he's pretty big too. He's pretty tall. He's 260. Right. But he's not 300 pounds. Right. But he's pretty big. Right. So it's nice to have one other person, but now we just got a new guy, Panos, who's a Greek guy and a really nice guy. And he's like a purple belt. He used to train under George Brito. Right. He got his blue belt under George at Toronto BJJ. And then he went, his friend, I think either started Riverdale Martial Arts.
Okay.
Right. Or I don't know, either he started or he works there anyway. So he went and went there because of his friend. He wanted to kind of support, right? And when he branched off, so then he got his purple belt there. And then he didn't train for 2 years during COVID because whatever. And now he started again. He's come to Rev MMA, which is really nice because now I got another – and he's a big guy. He's a really big guy. He's not as big as me, but he's big. He's got to be a good
– Pano, who works for the TTC?
Yeah. You know Panos.
Yeah.
He knows you. Panos Cristo. Yeah, Cristo. Yeah, he says to say hi, actually. So I forgot that he knew you. So he's a big guy, right? And so now I got another big training partner.
Good.
But he's a very nice man. And it's kind of funny because it's I went and I blessed his house, right?
Good.
It's kind of I'm at the, you come to the mats and it's like, hey, Father, you know, it's like, okay, how you doing? You're blessing. Okay, now I'm going to try to strangle you. Yeah. But it's natural, right? It's not when it's two people who have been doing jiu-jitsu for a while, right? Mm-hmm. There's no switch those gears. It's very easy. It's not awkward or strange, whatever. And then you just switch right back to kind of parishioner priest, right? And mm-hmm. it's effortless. There's no issue there. I think it's just people who don't know about it, mm-hmm. kind of getting into it. Yeah. And trust me, I got no problem choking Panos out either. So.
Well, good.
But it's good times. But training here has been good too. I told you I competed for the first time. So that was
That's right.
That was a good experience.
When's the next one?
The next one is in May. So I competed back in December 4th. That was called the Ontario Provincials, provincial by under the Ontario Jiu-Jitsu Association. that was my first experience. It was a good experience. I won gold. Mm-hmm. I fought twice. And there wasn't a lot of guys in my division because I'm a Masters too. I'm 40 now. I'm almost 41. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the ultra heavy, right? So there's not a lot of guys in that division, but it was a good experience. And it was, I thought I'd be more nervous, but I wasn't, which is strange. I just prepared very well with my instructor, especially my instructor Arthur. And we had a good game plan and it worked out well. So it was a good experience. Won by points the first fight. And, it wasn't like the way it was, I had a buy-in. So mm-hmm. I got to fight directly at semifinal, the way it worked out. And, so I won on points in the first one. And then the final, I won on submission and, always got to go for the submission. And, and that was a really good experience. So the next one is May 8th and that's the Ontario Open, it's called, which is just a different organization. So, and apparently that's the biggest one in Canada, I think.
Yeah, that's a massive tournament.
It's a big one. It's going to be out in Whitby or Oshawa or something like that in the East End. And apparently like everybody's competing in that one. Even Arthur's competing for the first time in a long time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Cause he had tendonitis in his elbows and stuff. And, so it should be an interesting thing. And, I think that's the last one before the summer. Mm-hmm. And then, I hope to go to Greece. I'm not sure, but I hope to go to Greece in the summer in July. Mm-hmm. And so when I get back, there'll be more competitions. I want to do a few more in September and October, mm-hmm. but there were a few other ones that were scheduled here, but because of COVID, even though we never had any shutdowns,
yeah,
I guess they didn't have the numbers. There were two other competitions that got shut down, that got canceled. Mm-hmm. So I would have fought three more times before the summer, but it got reduced to once, but what can mm-hmm. you do? But yeah, no, it was a good experience. So I hope to continue to do it as much as I can with a pre-schedule as much as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Nationals unfortunately fall on Pentecost. The Canadian Nationals. They fall on June 12th, which is a Sunday.
Oh. Yeah.
Pentecost. So it's not like I can skip that.
No. But,
alas, you know. Yeah. Alas, I have to miss the Nationals. But what can you do?
That's there's a tournament here, April 9th.
Yep.
Well, it's in Red Deer. And mm-hmm. I think some of my training partners at JR are doing it, and I think some of my training partners in Winnipeg are driving out. So we'll see how my friend Mike keeps asking me, you gonna come coach us mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, we'll see how this schedule plays out.
Wasn't there the Alberta provincial championship that just happened?
There was some tournament that happened. Yeah I believe one of my parishioners medaled in there. He competed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I had something that Saturday, and then another friend who trains here was in a ref, I believe. I think he got COVID that weekend or something like that.
Yeah, it's really hard for us, like as priests, to schedule like competitions and things like that because you have to like schedule them very far ahead of time to make sure you know something, right?
Especially then, like, and then to train, be able to train appropriately to compete. So
yeah, there's a lot of factors, right? There was supposed to be one this past weekend, March 19th, right? And it was clear. I had cleared it from like months and months ahead of time and I kept it open. And I had already started the training regimen for it, but then they canceled it. And it was like, oh, it's like, you know, now it's like, okay, now I can book baptisms. I can book other things. Like I can, you know, but it's just, it's a big hassle. You have to clear it that far months and months ahead of time, especially for us when baptisms and weddings book so early, right? It's not like you can tell people, sorry, I'm not going to be there because I got to go do a jiu-jitsu tournament, right? So if it lines up with a day that's open, okay, great. But aside from that, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah, we'll see. I'm hoping in the summer, if I go to Greece, to meet up with some of our friends that we interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I can take a lot of time away from my family and just go off and train. Mm-hmm. But I hope to like, I have found some places that would be close by where I'm staying. So I hope we can go train and see some, like maybe go see Evagelos Mumzis that we interviewed, who's in Lamia. That's about 2.5 hours from Athens. Mm. Maybe go see him and Nenad Latinčić, hard to say that name. Our Serbian friend who lives in Evija, which is about 1.5 hours from Athens, who's the president of ADCC Serbia. So might go up to Rio Grappling Club there. He's got his club there in Evia in Greece. And those are pretty much the only two guys that are within driving distance of where I'm going to be that we actually interviewed, right? I wish I could go out to Rhodes or go to Crete, you know, see the other guys, but it's hard with the kids, right? So, and also traveling with gear and a bunch of stuff. My wife's like, you're going to carry a gi around? I'm like, yes, I am. Just one, a lightweight one. I'm going to put in my carry-on, you know, wash it in the sink wherever I am. You know, like, what are you going to do? Like, it's like, you don't have a lot of options, right? But, but you'd be surprised, even in small villages or smaller towns, there are clubs that do. So you can.
It wasn't last summer, even Denny Prokopos was in Zakynthos, and isn't there like some small club he found and he was posting some videos there at? And
so I talked to Danny. I asked him where I should go, like in Athens, and he had a few suggestions and things like that. And, you know, my in-laws have a place in Nafplio, which is like small. It's like on the beach, you know, south of Athens, and it's really picturesque. But there's still like, I think like three little clubs that do jiu-jitsu. Now, how extensive is their program? Most of these places have mixed martial arts or they have other stuff and they happen to have like a sub program that maybe, I'm assuming like maybe like not even 10 people or it's not a very big program, but they do have, and usually they'll even have a black belt there. So, I don't know. I'll go check it out and see what's going on. And maybe they'll let it drop in and go and do a little training. It's just nice to do a little training so I'm not gone for a month and then I come back, because not training for a month will be not good.
No, it's not good. I think one book I was reading scientifically, I think like working out, if you go 2 weeks, you kind of sustain like where you're at from when you stop training. But after 2 weeks, you, whatever progress you had, you start losing it. I even think for cardio stuff like jiu-jitsu or even running, little things of that, it's even after a couple of days, it's not the same.
Yeah. When I was off for Omicron, and it wasn't the Omicron because, as I said, it hit me. I was only sick like 2 days, really, and just more muscle fatigue. I didn't have any respiratory issues. I didn't have coughs or sniffles or any of that. I just had muscle fatigue, and it was only 2 days. And then as fast as it came on, it went away. But I was out like not training for 10 days. Wow. And when I came back after 10 days, I just did a private with Arthur and it was hard. I my lung capacity, even though I didn't have any lung issues, but I was so tired and exhausted, and just because I was going from literally 5-6 sessions a week, right, to nothing.
Yeah.
Which is like a big difference. Right. So, and it took like about 2 weeks of just gradually getting back into it. You know, three times a week, like just to get back up to that level, because I just couldn't handle it. I was exhausted. It could have been also part of COVID, like just the fatigue of it. But I just thought it was even my breathing and things like that, cardio. So, yeah, I don't want to. That's what I'm afraid of. I don't want to kind of stop that, and you know, sure I'll still be active, but it's not the same thing. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. So, now that you're kind of settled, I'm looking forward to kind of maybe doing a few more, scheduled podcasts. Like, you know, maybe we might not be able to keep up with our every 2 weeks, episode, but, I think we can do a little more than what we were doing. Like, we've been off for 5 months. So now that COVID is kind of, not gone, but most of the restrictions are gone, I think we can definitely start reaching out and, maybe doing some more interviews and some more topics. So hopefully if you have the time and I have the time as well, I know we're in the middle of Lent and we have Pascha coming up, but I'm sure that we can find some time hopefully to keep the episodes going.
Yeah. Figure it out as you go along. I kind of get more of the rhythm and routine. Plus my situation was compounded. Did I tell you I got in a car accident in December?
You did mention this.
Okay, so I'll tell our listeners this ridiculousness of my life. I was driving to jiu-jitsu on a Friday evening. I think we'd had, Calgary weather is weird, okay? So it's like, you know, it'll be like minus 40, like, and then plus 8.
Yeah, right?
The Chinook comes in, and within a day, they're walking to the church at the office, you'll see the snow in your car, like, just gone. You get this weird situation called attic rain, where like it creates an atmosphere in your attic if the insulation's not moved somewhere, right? It's like, I'm learning all these weird things, but it's snowing for 3 days around December 17th. I'm driving. I get into this very minor car accident. Okay. And my wife was trying to push. Yeah, I was like, people were, the speed limit is 80. Everyone's driving like 65. It's like, oh man, like, okay. Everyone's slowing down, speeding up. And then there's like three or four cars ahead. I think one guy slows down, the whole chain reaction eventually. And I always stay far away from people, right? Because in Manitoba, like if you hit someone from behind, even if they stop, right, you're always at fault automatic.
It's the same here. It's no fault.
Yeah. It's the same here, apparently, I found out. And so I press my brake and I'm sliding and I remember thinking, I said aloud, I was like, please no. And then light, I was like, come on. So we're on this highway here and there's nowhere to pull over. So we pull over to this meridian and I think two other people have got an accident and so they were pulled over. And then I'm changing information with this guy and he, I guess he thought we'd be 50-50 at fault. So I don't know if he's new as well or whatever. And I was thinking, I was like, I don't know if it's like that here in Manitoba, it's not. I think I'm going to be the one. So whatever. I had like this little crack. But apparently there was more damage inside of my vehicle. I think there's some, I don't know anything about cars, right? I was raised by a single mother of four. So everything I learned, I have taught myself over time when it comes to traditional masculine things. Right? And so, instead of riding a horse, my dad told me how to ride a horse with horses growing, right? My dad was a cowboy. So, I guess here, if you get an accident, if it's over $2,000, you have to make a police report. Mm-hmm. And I guess they have a lot of chop shop issues or hit and runs and stuff like that. And so I go. By the time they're able to start looking at my vehicle, there was a delay because the guy working on an emergency, right? So it keeps getting delayed. They open it up. No, then there was a delay, I think, on parts because of the supply chain issue that's going on still. And finally got the parts, they open it up and they have to stop. As soon as they realize it's more than 2,000, they have to like stop everything they're doing because cops and everything. So I go make this police report, come back, and then they eventually get a call. The parts are delayed and my vehicle will not be ready until like the first or second week of March. It was just like,
jeez.
All throughout Christmas, January. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It wouldn't have affected, like I canceled the Theophany house blessings, right? Because of the Omicron, just to be safe and everything. Me not having a vehicle wouldn't have affected that because I had someone who wanted to drive me around for that, which would have been fine anyways. Mm-hmm. So, but it just affected other things like, you know, getting the hospital, doing this, doing that. It was just more of a nuisance than anything. And then waiting, and then so we rented a car, and plus dealing with Manitoba insurance and well, Alberta, and trying to switch it. It was just like a big bureaucratic headache, to use nice words. Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. So, but finally now it's done and we got our vehicle, Alberta license plate, nothing Manitoba. So thank God.
Well, I'm glad that's over.
it was pretty ridiculous. Yeah. And then the snow's gone, comes back. So
you guys stop snow now?
No, it snowed yesterday morning, but then it was gone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had bizarre weather here too. It was warm. And then like almost 2 weeks ago, it snowed for like 3 days, but not like heavy snow. It was melting, but it was snowing. Mm-hmm. Right. And it was thick snow, but it was that type of snow that's wet and that kind of melts right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had fog, like London fog for 3 days, like thick fog you haven't seen in years here. Like you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face.
Yeah.
I guess because it got warm suddenly and then everything started evaporating, right? So it got really, really misty. And then now it's spring again. So now it's, you know, today's going to go up to 10 Celsius. And this week it looks like it's going to be in the, like, you know, maybe high single or low double digits. So it's getting quite pleasant. The snow's all gone. So I'm hoping, technically yesterday was the first day of spring, so
we'll see. Yeah, they say here can still, it's like Manitoba, I guess, in a way. Manitoba, you can still get snow all the way until April.
Yeah.
Here too, apparently you would get, I think, more snow. But that's what I was telling you at Prez yesterday, because I didn't have any baptisms or nothing after liturgy, no Vespers or anything, and I was like, oh, we should have went to Canmore Bath yesterday, but we didn't because we thought we were going to go for brunch with someone, but we didn't go. Mm-hmm. So... but yeah, in the mountains, of course, it's still winter there.
Of course. Yeah.
But I have parishioners apparently in Banff and Canmore. I got to go bring communion to sometime. So
it's like my road trips.
Yeah, some people keep asking me, and now that restrictions lifted, I think it's the older people, right? Because I bring community to, of course, you probably do too, right? To long-term care homes and everything like that.
Yep.
And, so just for our listeners, so as far as I understand, my quote-unquote territory, someone said, is pretty much Southern Alberta is me, Northern Alberta is Father Andrew. So, mm-hmm. so far, like, I have parishioners that visited Medicine Hat, which if you look at a map from Calgary, is like 3 hours or more away. Beautiful little city. I've driven to it before, driving to the mountains, of course. We've got parishioners, I guess, in Banff, Canmore, here, some other smaller towns that are like 45 to an hour away. So
you got a lot of driving to do.
Yeah. And I was even checking one time when I had to go to Medicine Hat, I was looking on a map of all Orthodox churches. I was like, is there some church you could use to like do a liturgy or do something, right? But pretty much if you look the top of Alberta around Edmonton, it's all Russian, Ukrainian, and OCA old churches, right? And you trickle down towards middle and get to Calgary, right? There's a Serbian church here, Greek, Romanian church down the street, actually, an ROEA, one of those ones under the OCA. Then there is a Romanian church, but they don't have their own, like under the Patriarchate, but they don't have their own church. Of course, Ukrainians. I think there's like two or three Rokor churches, one OCA church. And as you go further down outside of Calgary, I think in Lethbridge, there is a Ukrainian and another Serbian church, and then pretty much nothing, right? No Orthodox churches. There's tons of Mormon churches.
Wow. Right?
If you know the history of Mormonism and when it spread out after the outlawing of polygamy and even before that with their missionary activity, Southern Alberta has, there's even Mormon temples here. I had a funeral director recently, and we're driving to this funeral, the cemetery in Airdrie, which is just north of Calgary. So we had the funeral here, and they're being buried in Airdrie. And this funeral director is a Mormon. Mm-hmm. So I asked him, he's religious, and he said, oh, I'm part of, you might know him better as the Mormons. I'm like, oh, okay. And he even showed me on the way there, you could see, I didn't know there was a Mormon temple in Calgary, and there's one Pincher Creek or Cardson, somewhere closer to Waterton Lakes National Park. And it's a funny story. The first time me and Perez ever went to Waterton Lakes National Park, we're driving from Manitoba that way, right? So I think we took Highway 2, the Redcoat Trail, the trail that at the time the Northwest Mounted Police, the modern day RCMP, took to go and persecute my people, the Métis Nation, during the second Métis uprising in Batoche. They went that way, took that trail. And so as you're driving this way, all of a sudden I notice there's like this area that's kind of run down. And you see this big house. And I joke to Ash, either this is like the preacher's house or the chief's house, if this is an indigenous area, right? Which, of course, is all Blackfoot territory. And then all of a sudden, there's this massive Mormon church. And I'm like, what? Then a little bit further down, there's another one. So whatever, we go to Waterton Lakes. And then Waterton Lakes is one of the five Canadian national parks as a town site. And I think they have like three churches in it. I think they have a United, a Catholic, and an LDS, a Mormon church. I was like, what is going on? Like, this is pretty random, you'd think. But and then I learned more about Mormon history. And as we go, so we left to go to Calgary to see my godfather. And if you go north, then there's another Mormon church. So I asked my godfather about it. And I did some research. And there's different trails they took, like the Mormon pioneers, right? Not all of them came, of course, to escape the polygamy laws. Those would be more like the ones in BC. Here, it's more, I guess, it's more like missionary activity. But it's a pretty high concentration that they have, as far as I know, at least two temples where they do all their sealings and all that stuff. And I even asked the guy, I'm like, so do you have for your baptismal fonts? You have like the 12 oxen and all that stuff? And oh yeah, they got all that stuff in that temple. So,
wow.
Like, of course, I have my own views on Mormonism, but from a more like an academic perspective on the history of religion, especially North American religion, Mormonism has always fascinated me as a religious movement ever since I was like, I think in grade seven, because I don't know if they had this in Ontario, but in Manitoba there'd be these commercials where you can order Book of Mormons or
I remember
King James. So me and my friends would always order Book of Mormons and King James Bibles from them. So that's right. So as a I guess academics would call it, list them as like a new religious movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the study of religion, it's always interesting what they did traveling from Missouri to barren land in Utah, you know, the whole mm-hmm. Mormon Moses type thing with Brigham Young and all that. So interesting times in Alberta.
in Southern Alberta.
Southern Alberta, yeah.
In the north, you've got the Orthodox.
Yeah, no. You got the Orthodox and you got pierogies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but that's what I thought. Looking at that map, it kind of just drops off. And I guess it's just, you know, the Southern Rockies. So all ranch land probably.
Do you ever, but can you use any of those Orthodox churches, like when you go out to the villages, like to liturgize?
Well, there aren't any down there, right?
No, I mean think in the north.
In the north.
Like when you go and do you go anywhere like north of you, but not in Edmonton's jurisdiction?
No. Well, just Airdrie. Airdrie's the furthest north.
Okay. Yeah. Because Airdrie doesn't have anything nearby? It doesn't have a Ukrainian Orthodox church or anything like that?
Not that I know of.
Okay. No.
Yeah, it's only like, I think, half an hour, 20 minutes away, depending on. So the people from Airdrie come here.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
Even some of them from Airdrie were at the Pan-Orthodox Vespers at St. Peter the Alute, OCA Church, the mm-hmm. previous Sunday. So we had a pretty good turnout for that.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. They asked me to give the homily, so I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Good.
I think it was good.
People told me it was good, so I say, okay, thank you.
Nice.
Well, I write all my stuff, even here on Sundays. I write my sermons and they email them out. So,
okay.
It's always difficult. One of the things I don't like about the YouTube stream, right? I don't care about people seeing me serving or my horrible voice or anything. I care about when you preach, now it's there. And if you made a mistake or you would have said something different, like when you look back. Mm-hmm. And then plus that I emailed them out.
Yeah, but that's.
What can you do? You can't worry about everything, but people, I get positive response. That was always one of the things I dreaded doing. Like when I was an assistant priest with Father Nick in Winnipeg, I was like, no, I'm not. You're the main priest. You preach, you know, I preach sometimes in Toronto when I substituted at churches, mm-hmm. right? But then I mostly didn't do it from, I did it just from, you know, like how Father Theologos would do it, or maybe, right? He just speaks. Mm-hmm. Right? So I kind of would, my method in Toronto, I'd read the gospel in the ancient Greek and in English, maybe see what some church fathers say, kind of put all this information in my head and then, download the software and then see how I put what comes out when I.
Sure.
I have some themes going with, but here, because they wanted me to email them out, and so I write them out. And so, well, sometimes it's difficult. I'm one of those people, as soon as my hands go to, like, put fingers on the keyboard, I have,
writer's block.
Yeah, like, instant writer's block. They're the same way with writing papers for seminary or anything, so.
Well, you know, a way around that, because I don't write mine out either in that way. I just can't. Yeah. I could, but it would stifle. I don't work that way. I work with bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
So I create a skeleton. I write that out, but the skeleton doesn't make much sense to a lot of people except me.
Yeah.
And then I expand, right? So because I find reading from a paper, you lose spontaneity and also you lose inspiration too. So if people need you to do that, then you could always audio record and send that out instead of an actual text.
Yeah,
because that way you're able to deliver the way you want instead of stifling your creativity or your delivery, and people can still get it. Mm-hmm. So it's maybe a possible option to consider in the future instead of forcing yourself to do something that you're not comfortable with or that is not necessarily conducive to the best type of preaching you can do, mm-hmm. your personality.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I know, because that's what, in my homiletics class, I think. My first or second year, whatever, Father Theologos, he has said that. He says, I think you're going to be one of those priests that's better preaching without it being written.
Yeah.
And I never thought that. I'd be like, what? I was like, that's a scary concept. But then I did it in Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not riffing. It's just a different way of doing it.
Yeah. I'm not approaching unprepared. I'm still prepared just differently. So.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. See, maybe I keep it this way for a bit, see how it goes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Father, you know, it's good to have you back, and I'm glad that everything is going well for you in Calgary. I know it's very nerve-wracking to kind of, move to a new place. Number one, for anybody, moving is considered one of the most stressful things that one can do, but then to also take over a parish and to kind of like, it's your first parish and becoming dad, and it's, yeah, I can't even imagine because I never had to do all those things simultaneously. You know, I didn't have to have kids. I didn't have kids. Yeah.
Sophia was 2 weeks old when we drove out here.
Yeah. Like I can't even, it was stressful enough when I went to Winnipeg for the first time and then moving. And then I didn't have kids for another, like, you know, it was like two more years after that, or actually no, four years into, it was 6 years being married. So, it's, and that's all, it was all stressful. So I can't even imagine how much. So glad to have you back. I didn't, that's why I was waiting kind of for you. Cause I didn't want to do, I did like one episode alone. It was like, kind of boring. I don't want to just sit here and talk, and it's nice to have you back. So, hopefully we'll be back in a couple of weeks or a few weeks with another episode. And, glad that you're having a good time up there, and we'll talk soon. Okay.
Yep. Sounds good.
Thank you. Okay, guys. And to all of you, thank you for tuning in again after such a long hiatus. And we promise we will be back on a more regular basis. And God bless all of you. And we'll see you soon. Take care.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.